For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Match Analysis. I'm Gil Gross. This is the 2024 Miami Open Preview and Predictions Show. Second Masters 1000 of the year is upon us. Coming off of a terrible Indian Wells prediction, did not get a lot right. Going into this, having not been able to watch a lot of Indian Wells, but you know what? I actually think that might end up being a good thing. It could work in my favor. Because if we know one thing over the years, it is that playing well in Indian Wells does not necessarily mean you're going to play well at Miami. And if you're an elite player, if you're one of the top players, usually you're going to do great at both. Don't get me wrong. But for everybody else, the mere mortals out there, it's not an easy transition. So again, maybe the fact that I won't be taking Indian Wells' performance other than looking at the results much into account will end up helping me. Much quicker court, high humidity, it's hot, it's really good serving conditions. And by the way, it used to be slow, but James Blake, tournament director, I feel like he took credit for this. He was like, hey, let's speed them up. Let's speed them up. And they did. So now they're really fast. And it's going to be the last real, you know, fast. Madrid ends up being somewhat fast, even though it's clay. But in a lot of ways, it's kind of the last fast tournament before they hit the grass, right? So as we go into Carlos Alcaraz's quarter, I'm looking at you, Adrian Mannarino. This is your chance. It's your last chance before we hit the clay, I'm sorry to say. All right, top seeds. Alcaraz, Hurkacz, Dimitrov, Shelton, Mannarino, Musetti, Korda, and Chorich. My dark horse in this quarter is Alejandro Tabilo. My upset alert is Lorenzo Musetti. My early popcorn is none, but I crossed out the early. I'm just writing popcorn, and I have Alcaraz versus Shelton, round of 16. Sometimes you got to break the rules. Honestly, real talk, the new Masters 1000 format, 96 players, 32 buys. You know, there are some parts about making these predictions that I think are really tough now with the new format where... you know, with the 32 buys, it's harder to get early popcorn matchups. And it's almost harder to get upset alerts too, because if they win one match, now they're in the third round and they're playing another seed. So is it really an upset? I don't know. So it feels like they just need to win one match and they've escaped. Whereas at a major, usually I'm looking at two matches before you almost get two chances at the upset before you hit the third round. Anyway, let's start with Tabilo. Might be the first time I've ever made him dark horse, but he's having a great year. The regular choices based on talent alone here would normally be somebody like Roman Safulin or Emil Roussevori. Neither of them really have any momentum. I had to kind of look the other way. Emil has a bad draw as well. Gael Monfils is playing well, but I think he matches up horribly with Alcaraz. Like, I just think you need to be very offensive generally if you're going to beat Alcaraz, and Monfils just doesn't really play that way. So I like Tabilo here. He tore up challengers last year, four challengers titles, one on hard court, one Auckland earlier this year in January, first ATP title, made the final in Santiago, got a win at Indian Wells, played a tight opening set against Fritz. That looks pretty good to me. Might have good crowd support in Miami. I don't know that for a fact, but I don't know if like the Chileans will turn out, but a lot of the South Americans, it turns into really their home Masters 1000. Actually, you know, I feel like Christian Garin has had great crowd support in the past. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Tabilo is going to get that. And I just look in general, I'd be careful labeling him as a clay guy. I know that might be the inclination, but if you look at the records, which I did, on hard and clay at tour level, it's basically the same. So Tabilo, Good first serve forehand combination, left-hander, and he is my dark horse. Upset alert, I like the seeds in this quarter, so it wasn't easy. I'm just going to go with Musetti. Indian Wells was positive, right? He beat Shapovalov. He took Runa to a tiebreak set, and that might make it, you know, so that people are like, okay, Musetti, maybe on the way back. But conditions-wise, Indian Wells is much, much better because with Lorenzo, it's about him having time and getting into rallies, and it's much harder for him to do that in Miami. When he goes up against big servers, can attack his backhand return, can take time away from him, can kind of take away his defensive capabilities or bother them a little bit more. And he does have a somewhat tough draw, Roman Safulin or a qualifier in his first match. Popcorn, Alcaraz, and Shelton, they've only played once. It was Canada last year. We know that Shelton has really cleaned some stuff up since then. These are two guys who are athletic marvels and deeply love to entertain crowds. And there is going to be, or there would be, I'm pretty confident, some really, really highlight reel stuff in that match. So feels like appointment viewing to me. Shelton in a big match against a top player, he always brings the swag. He always brings the attitude. He does not back down. He expects to win. So I think I like that when he goes up against top players. I think not only does it give him a better chance to win, I think it makes for better television that no bone in his body is, how should I say it? Yeah, I'm doing really bad finding the word here, but he doesn't back down, all right? Let's go to the quarterfinal prediction here. In this quarter, it is Alcaraz defeats Hubert Hurkacz. Let's start by talking about Hubie. I know I picked Hurkacz to the quarterfinal at Indian Wells. I made an argument that, you know, the conditions are okay for him and that he, you know, don't be scared by the slow conditions. But I did make sure to note that Monfils was a real danger to him in that matchup. And indeed, Gael Monfils beat him in the first round. I'm not reading into it as far as the bigger picture with Hurkacz because Gael is one of the toughest players to ace. It was a night match at Indian Wells. Hubie's first serve, statistically, you can look at it. It just wasn't doing anything. It was literally his worst ace rate of the year. Last 52 weeks, Hurkacz has never been worse in terms of ace rate than he was in that match. So I don't see a returner like Monfils before the quarterfinal. Hurkacz has a great history in Miami. Of course, it was his first Masters 1000 title back in 2021. So I like him coming into this event, and I think he will make it as far as the quarterfinals. We could have a sun. Should I talk about this now? Yeah, before I get into Alcaraz, let me say this. Could have a sunshine double of Dimitrov versus Mannarino. I always feel like players who figure out how to win against Adrian are likely to be able to do it again and vice versa. I think players who lose to Adrian usually lose again. But Mannarino has had some good runs in Miami and beat Hubie last year. So I want to kind of shout out both Dimitrov and Mannarino as serious threats. As for Alcaraz, I think back to last year. He transitioned very well from Indian Wells to Miami. He played good tennis in Miami. So that is something I take into consideration here, knowing that he can do it. I've said for a long time now, I think that the pressure of having not won a title since Wimbledon was weighing on him, was affecting his mental game. And I felt for a long time that he was going to win a title eventually. And once he did, it was going to put him back in a good place. It was going to give him a boost, and he wasn't going to, basically it was going to be a turning point for him. I still believe that. So I feel good about Alcaraz. He's my semifinal pick in this quarter. Let us go on now to Alexander Zverev's quarter. Top seeds are Zverev, Runa, Dimonor, Khachanov, Cirundolo, Struff, Lehechka, and Eubanks. My dark horse here is Lorenzo Sonego. My upset alert is Yuri Lehechka. And my early popcorn is Sebastian Offner versus Kei Nishikori, round one. Okay, let us begin with Sonego. I don't love anyone here. Sonego has not been playing great, but He's 8-4 lifetime in Miami. He beat two seeds in Miami last year. He is 3-0 against his first round opponent, Dan Evans. He'd get Chris Eubanks next. These are good conditions for Banks. I just think he's feeling a lot of pressure right now to get wins, especially defending the points quarterfinals last year. I think that's hurting him at the moment, just the pressure of it all. I think he's just feeling it. I saw him in Phoenix play Kokkinakis. I don't think he played bad. I don't think he was great on the big points. But yeah, I just think it's a good seed to have as well for Sonego. So all of those factors go into me picking him as dark horse. My upset alert, Jiří Lehečka. Let me just first say, I am a believer in Lehečka. I am a fan of Lehečka. He had a huge Indian Wells. He's been good all year. But at Indian Wells, he had the slow conditions. He used his insane power to hit Rublev and Tsitsipas right off the court. And I'm putting him on upset alert. I don't usually do this, but it's kind of a gut feel pattern thing. It's not about the matchup or about his tennis. It's just tennis has a way of doing this to young players. You have the best week of your life, and then the next week, it's different courts, it's different balls, it's tough opponents, and you go back down to earth. The Sunshine Double is hard. So I just think Jiří Lehečka is at risk here of just taking, you know, just a little bit of a setback result after the best week of his career. Alexi Popperin or Facundo Diaz Acosta in the second round. I think there's merit to both of those players as dangers, to be quite frank. Ooh, I just had like a little back spasm. All right, I'm okay. I'm okay. We're going to battle through. Speaking of back spasms, my early popcorn is the return of Kei Nishikori. Now, it was his shoulder, I believe, not his back, but it's going to be great to see Kei come back. This is his second tour main draw in the last 2.5 years. So it has been sparse, the tennis. He did win a challenger in that time when he came back last year. I don't have a lot of expectations in general. His last top 20 season, so last time he went, you know, wire to wire and finished in the top 20 was 2019. And that feels like a long time ago. So hopefully he can stay healthy. That's all I'm going to say. It's going to be good to see him back on the court. And he trains in Florida, so he's generally really comfortable at Miami in these conditions. Quarterfinal prediction is Alex de Minaur defeats Alexander Zverev. I know this is another kind of double down from Indian Wells, similar to picking Hurkacz to the quarterfinal. I don't mean to do that. I don't mean to be copy-paste, but I'll give you my logic, obviously, as I always do. Let me first say that Rune is definitely a consideration. He looked good in Indian Wells. I think that surface, Indian Wells, suits his forehand a lot more. And you have the question of intense heat in Miami. Last week also was his first ever hard court Masters quarterfinal outdoors. So I'm not really in a rush to pick him to do it again the very next week, if you know what I mean. So I look the other way with Rune. Khachanov is there. He made the semis last year. I just see him as very similar to Zverev from the baseline, and Sasha has the better serve. They haven't played in a really long time, so I don't read into the head-to-head, but that's my read on the matchup in very simple terms. So I'm going with the reversal of the Indian Wells result. De Minaur plays good tactics against Zverev. We saw that in the first set against him. And these are slicker courts that reward his flat hitting more and keep the ball under Sasha's hitting zone, which is a big deal. I always talk about height of bounce with Zverev. I think it's very, very important for him. It's one of the reasons why he's so good on clay. It's one of the reasons why he's always struggled at Wimbledon. And it also, it seemed like in that match, Alex had a very uncharacteristically error-filled performance. And you just don't bet on that happening again for a player like de Minaur. So I think he can reverse that result. I think he's also looking at clay season. And he's another one of those guys where it's like, let's go right here. This is the one. You're going to give it your all, because you know in the back of his head, he knows, listen to me, you know he knows that clay is not going to be the season or the couple months out of the year where he's likely to have huge results. By the way, Zverev has lost first round here 3 out of the last 4 years. He did make the final in 2018. So it's not like he's never played well in Miami. That was back when it was slow, though. So I don't know. Also, a note on the 2018 match. He played John Isner in the final. He lost. That was the first Monday match analysis ever. That's right, friends. Little history lesson. Zverev versus Isner, Miami 2018. First ever Monday match analysis. Let us go on now to Daniil Medvedev's quarter. There it is. Medvedev's got Ruud, Fritz, Humbert, Baez, Jarry, ADF, and Nori. My dark horse is Jerry Sheng. My upset, I think it's Sheng. My apologies. Jerry Sheng. My upset alert is Nicholas Jarry. And my early popcorn is Medvedev versus Purcell / Fucsovics.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let us start with Sheng, the young man from China who trains at IMG. Improved his serve in the offseason, had a big January, but then he got hurt against Alcaraz. And since he got hurt against Alcaraz, he's only played one. He only played one match until Indian Wells. At Indian Wells, it was positive. He qualified. He beat Jordan Thompson. So my thought is that he's kind of back from the injury, that he's fully recovered, that he's gotten some matches under his belt. As I mentioned, IMG guy trains in Florida, has played Miami 3 times because he generally gets a wild card here. And once again, he's gotten a wild card here. That's more than any event. So you have comfortability, familiarity. He's got Kecmanovic, first round, Fokina, second round, and then maybe Ruud, who can struggle with lefties. That is not an easy draw. It's not a cakewalk. You really can't have that at Masters 1000s. But to me, it's very doable. It's not a draw that scares me off of picking him as dark horse. Upset alert, Nicholas Jarry. First, let me say, this was an interesting one because I actually considered picking Nicholas Jarry to go on a little bit of a run here. I thought about it. Then I kind of took a deeper look. The reason I thought about it, first of all, is that he matches up nicely with Ruud. So I feel like if he's in top form, he'd be a potential quarterfinalist for that reason. But it's just not happening for him on hard court this year. He's got a 4-4 record on hard court, 2 losses to players ranked 100 or lower, and only 1 top 50 win, which was Arnaldi. First round. Not first round, but first match. He's got Draper or Taro Daniel. Daniel's done big things in Miami in the past. You know how I feel about Jack Draper. I'm taking a break from him as dark horse, only for the viewers. You know, deep inside, I wanted to pick Draper as dark horse, but just for you guys, I didn't. Okay. Anyway, I think there's real danger for Jarry right away. And I'm just surprised because he was good after the US Open last year. He had really good hard court results. And I was expecting more out of him, but I'm looking at the results I'm seeing. It's just not happening for him on hard court. Popcorn match. This is kind of a tough one. I don't feel amazing about this, but Medvedev's first round, I said it again, first match, is either going to be against a serve and volleyer in Purcell. I'm always interested in Daniil versus serve and volley. Always. Or someone in Fucsovics who's taken a set off of him in 3 out of their 4 total meetings. So I think whoever, regardless of who Medvedev plays, it's going to be a little bit of a, okay, let's keep our eye on that one factor. All right. Quarterfinal is, oh, all right. Technical difficulties. I have to verbal the quarterfinal. It is Medvedev defeating Taylor Fritz. First of all, I didn't get to acknowledge Medvedev's impressive run at Indian Wells as much as I would have liked to on Monday Match Analysis yesterday. That tends to happen when players make the final because I need to really break down the match that they lost. And I usually don't spend too much time being like, great run, congrats on the run. You know, I just skip that part. But let me say that now, that Daniil Medvedev beating Sebastian Korda, Grigor Dimitrov, Tommy Paul, Holger Rune on a hard court that doesn't suit him deserves its flowers. Even in the final against Alcaraz, he showed his improved stylistic range. I liked his tactics. He should be feeling really confident going into Miami. I still get the sense, however, that his serve is less than 100%. His hold percentage is actually way down this year statistically. And that's before he hits the clay. So you got to think it's going to go even further down. He is not serving well, but he's breaking serve enough that it isn't even coming into play, the serve struggles. Imagine if he gets the serve right. So I'm high on him. I want to back him here in Miami. Hugo Humbert is one to watch, though. Humbert has a pretty good draw, and he's 3-1 against Medvedev. Daniil would need to figure some stuff out if he ends up playing Hugo. Hope that it's windy. Seriously, I mean, if he plays Humbert, he's got to hope that it's windy. Not that he can't win and problem solve here, but you kind of get what I'm saying. On the other half of this quarter, Fritz over Rude for me. Better serve return. Backhand cross is good enough to get to Rude's backhand repeatedly. I think Fritz in this matchup will just be in attack more often, and this is a fast hard court. I generally want to pick the player who I think is going to be in attack more often. Taylor made the quarterfinal here last year. He's comfortable in Miami. This is probably his favorite month of the year, generally speaking, and even had good results in Monte Carlo last year. That's not relevant, but it just popped in my head. So Medvedev defeating Taylor Fritz in that quarter. Apologize for the technical difficulties for you, for all of you watching on YouTube. Jannik Sinner's quarter. Top seeds are Sinner, Rublev, Tsitsipas, Paul, Bublik, Tiafoe, Griekspoor, Echeverry. My dark horse is Matteo Berrettini. My upset alert is Stefanos Tsitsipas. My early popcorn is Murray versus Berrettini, round one. Obviously, last week I was in a perpetual state of calling Matteo Berrettini matches. It truly felt that way. And if you followed the Phoenix Challenger, you know why, because his match against Cazot kept stopping and starting and stopping and starting, and it was a whole day of Berrettini is playing a tennis match. So let me just say, I think that Berrettini looked pretty close to normal. There were too many loose service games, too many little rough patches, losses of focus maybe, some footwork issues at times, but pretty close is what I'll say. And historically, he just doesn't need a lot of time to get right. Think about what we saw last year at Wimbledon. He played one match, which I'm pretty sure was just to make his sponsor happy in Stuttgart, which is the Hugo Boss Open. He played one match over a span of like 3 months. Comes to Wimbledon, beats Dimitrov, beats Zverev. And it's like, what? You don't need matches? You can just show up and do that? And then the year before, he won Stuttgart and he won Queens and he hadn't played clay season. So he just does this. This is the history where he just doesn't really need matches. He's good right away. True, it is true that he hasn't been good best of three on hard court in his career. But I'm still pretty sure he's the best slash most dangerous unseeded in this quarter, even this week. Echeverry and Rublev are his seeds. Not bad at all. And he's a pretty bad matchup for Rublev in serving conditions. My upset alert is Stefanos Tsitsipas. Just a horrible history at the Sunshine Double by his standards. He just doesn't tend to win here. I think the Miami conditions on paper are worse for him than Indian Wells. And I actually think it's a big chance for Shapovalov to get his first big win in a while. Because similar to Lehechka, Shapovalov is going to bring huge pace to the table. That's a great asset against Tsitsipas. Simply serving big and hitting the ball hard against Stefanos Tsitsipas makes him uncomfortable. It's a really good quality to have when you are playing Steph. So I feel like it's a, and Shapovalov, I think it's Luciano Dardari in the first round. I feel like this is a pretty big opportunity for Shapo. So we'll see what happens. Early popcorn is Murray versus Berrettini. I guess it's the first time they've played since that epic Australian Open match where Berrettini blew that match point. Murray is very good at blunting power. He is very good at getting returns of serve to the backhand. Very good, which is important against Berrettini. And dragging out rallies is good against Mateo. So Murray could win that match. There's no doubt. It's a good matchup. And historically, Andy's pretty good in Miami. I just think Berrettini is more clear-headed in high-pressure situations. If Mateo can keep it close, I think he's more clutch. And to me, that trumps the X's and O's. It really does. Not always, but in this case, I think it does. There were a lot of good options in the early popcorn category here. A shout out to Darwin Blanche, big serving lefty American, 16 years old, already serves 130, who, interestingly enough, trains at the Ferrero Academy in Spain. He did not stay in the U.S. to train. I don't even know where you train in the U.S. now. He didn't go to Everett. He didn't go to IMG. He didn't go the USTA route is a route that a lot of people go. No, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go to Spain. So that's interesting. He got a wild card. He plays Tomas Mahach in the first round. So that was a possibility. There's also Feast versus Arnaldi, which I'm into. I'm into that. All right, quarterfinal. Prediction is Jannik Sinner defeats Alexander Bublik. Let me start with Sinner. He is 13-3 lifetime at Miami with two finals. He has never lost before the quarterfinal before. And this is all before he really put the full package together after the U.S. Open last year. He had made the final here twice. So he historically, this is his best event. And there's a positive spin to him losing at Indian Wells. You don't have the weight or the distraction, I would say, of the win streak, of watching that number tick up and up and up and being asked about it and thinking about it. It's a lot easier to just stay in the moment, stay present, and block out all the distractions when you don't have some sort of historic win streak that you're in the midst of. So, and especially losing to Alcaraz in the manner that he did, I think psychologically there are some positives. The calf thing was probably just a little cramp, so I'm not worried about that. And I think that pretty much explains it all of why I feel really good about Sinner here. On the top, Alexander Bublik, I don't think I've ever picked him to make a Masters quarterfinal. But he made the last eight here in 2021, lost to Sinner in that one. He really needs serving conditions. I never really love his chances if he's anywhere where he can't really rack up aces and unreturnables. But I think Miami checks the box. I think these are good enough serving conditions for Bublik. And when I look at the players who we may come up against at some point, whether it be Tsitsipas, Rublev, Arthur Fils, Matteo Arnaldi, Denis Shapovalov, all opponents that I think can be dominated with the first serve. And I've talked about it a lot with Rublev. They've played really tight. Talked about it a lot with Tsitsipas. Fils struggles a little bit on the return still. Arnaldi struggles a little bit. Shapo struggles a lot. So, I mean, there are a lot of guys, I think, who don't return all that well in quick conditions against Bublik's serve. And Sasha, I think, will be engaged. I mean, it's hard to tell with him. That also matters. I think he'll be engaged. So, yeah, Sinner over Bublik here. Final weekend predictions in 3, 2, 1. I got Alcaraz over Demonor in 2 sets. Sinner over Medvedev in 3 sets. Sinner over Alcaraz in 3 sets. As usual, not going to go into huge detail about hypothetical matchups that may or may not even happen. But it kind of comes down to game theory. Because last week, or last tournament, I did not pick Carlos Alcaraz. And if you would have asked me who's going to win Indian Wells 2024 for the last like 10, 11 months leading up to that very moment, I would have said Alcaraz. Conditions are so good for Alcaraz. Alcaraz is going to win Indian Wells. And it wasn't until he went to South America, I thought he'd win a title in South America, one of the two at least. When he didn't win a title, that's where I was like, you know what? I can't do it. And that's when I got off the train and I said, well, let's just make a little adjustment with Carlitos because, you know, you guys know if you've been keeping track, like since Wimbledon last year, more often than not, I've predicted Alcaraz to do better than he would ultimately end up doing. So it's like, okay, let's make a temporary adjustment here. And then of course, bang, he breaks the slump, so to speak. So I'm going to do the anti that. If you were to tell me that Jannik Sinner in conditions that have been kinder to him than any other conditions on the entire circuit, you're going to tell me that after all we've seen since the US Open last year, that I'm not going to pick him here now? No, I got to pick Jannik Sinner at Miami here. And as far as the Alcaraz matchup is concerned, I will say he can take more time away. And that's a big deal against Alcaraz. First of all, Sinner's serving advantage is a... Now, Alcaraz kind of, you know, he might move back and stuff, but Sinner's serving advantage is a bigger deal in Miami in the conditions. And the ability to just... You're not going to neutralize Alcaraz's forehand, but you can calm it down a little bit, blunt it, hope that he misses more, hope that his speeds and his spin rates come down a little bit just by taking away time from it. That those things are a big deal. And that's why I think Sinner can maybe turn it around and win in three sets if this hypothetical matchup happens. So there you have it, Miami predictions. We got a lot coming up this week. I'm going to make a Djokovic video. I am going to do a mailbag on Friday, all right? So make sure you're checking the YouTube community tab and look out for all that. Hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.